The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello, this is John Ivey for the North Carolina Reading Service, and this is Sports Illustrated for Kids. For the next half hour, I will be reading to you from the October issue of Scout Life. And we're going to continue with the hitching rack. Page 2. Dear Pedro, I just got a preprint of the 1911 Boys Life and noticed you weren't in it. When did you first become a male burro for Boys Life, or now Scout Life? That from Cyrus S. in Oviedo, Florida. I've been having a blast with BL and SL since 1947. Don't I look great for my age? Work wonders for a willing worker. Some people name their boss might even say a wacky worker. Dear Pedro, I would just like to thank you for participating in the creation of such a good representation of scouting. I remember how much Scout Life built my desire to be a scout. From all of the helpful advice to the silly comic strips to Scouts in Action, this magazine has built my desire to be a scout over the years. So thank you very much. That's from Megan B. in Akron, Ohio.
And that, dear readers, is the main reason this work is so fun. Thank you for reading, Megan, and everyone else.
Dear Pedro, I have a question for you. How do you like your job? That from Andrew A. in Tucker, Georgia.
Love this gig, Andrew. And the math is simple. There's just one boss. But there are hundreds of thousands of Andrews, Megans, Cyruses, Leos, Stevens, and Maxes, and Pablos, and Paulus, and Aarons, and Annas, and Richards, and Rachels, and out there to make this work worth it. I'll admit, though, it is a bit tiring. So now it's off to my cozy corral for a couple of extra alfalfa milkshakes and a nice, well-earned nap. Catch you next month.
Now page 14 and 15. Crossing. Check out these crazy critter connections in the world of sports. Animals are cool. Sports are cool, too, but not at the same time. Dogs and cats often wander onto playing fields, but check out these uninvited critters. Squirrely baseball. A squirrel ran between the legs of baseball pro Max Kelper of the Minnesota Twins in a game against the Chicago White Sox in 2019. Kepler was so hyper-focused on taking a lead off first base that he didn't even notice his high-speed sidekick. Talk about concentration. Grasshopper goal. Swarms of flying insects have invaded many a ball game, but one lone insect can usually hang around without being spotted. But how about a mega-sized bug? Colombian soccer star James Rodriguez scored a goal with a humongous grasshopper attached to his sleeve. He never noticed it because Colombia was trying super hard to beat Brazil in the 2014 FIFA World Cup. They didn't. So much for the popular old belief that grasshoppers bring good luck. Gator golf. Golf isn't thought of as a terrifying game, but it is when an alligator joins in. Golf pro Tony Finau was on the ninth fairway at the 2018 Zurich Classic Tournament in New Orleans, Louisiana, when a mega-toothed beast took an up-close interest in golf, or maybe in golfers. Not to worry too much, though. Alligators are terrible dry-land sprinters with a top speed of only 11 miles per hour in very short bursts. They prefer slowly sneaking up on their dinners in water. Lovebird. 2015 defending men's champion Novak Djokovic kept trying to shoo away a tiny sparrow on the Wimbledon tennis court. It kept flitting around the two players, sometimes within reach, and not even the ball boys and girls could discourage it. The bird kept coming back.
Wimbledon in England is the oldest tennis tournament ground in the world and the most prestigious. Birds or no birds? Playing down under. Woo! Golf pro Sean Walker did a double take on day three of the 2017 Super Six tournament in Perth, Australia, when he spotted one of a group of kangaroos that hopped through the first round play. In 2019, a couple of kangaroos got into a fighting match on the fairway. Dogging the ball. A Scottish dog named Digby took a real liking to golf balls, so much, though, that he stalked the 2012 Alfred Dunhill Links Championship Tournament until he finally stole world-level champion Paul Casey's ball right off the 12th green as Casey was lining up a putt. It looked like Casey would have to play the rest of the game with another ball. Then someone stopped Digby near the next tee and got the ball back. Roadblocks. One foggy day, a bunch of llamas decided to lie down and soak up heat from a road. Only thing was, they were also in the way of the 2016 Tour de France. The world's best cyclists would soon be coming around the bend on the course's highest mountain peak at 30 miles per hour. Fortunately, the llamas were moved in time, and no one was hurt. The Dragon's Blood. The adventure continues, and the stakes get higher for Cruz Coronado and his friend in Explorer Academy, the Dragon's Blood. In this exclusive excerpt, we follow the explorers in training aboard Orion, the Academy's classroom at sea, as they prepare for an exciting new destination and challenging new assignment. I'm sure it hasn't escaped your notice that we've put to sea. You must be curious about our destination. The rest of the faculty has informed me that at this point in the year, the standard curriculum for first-year recruits would have us sailing to China. The rest of his sentence was lost in an explosion of applause. Giant pandas, hooted Mateo. The Great Wall, cried Zane. Clouded leopards, sighed Lonnie. Emmett leaned back, placing his hand behind his head in triumph. He'd won Team Cousteau's bet, as his members knew he would. Professor Lubin's mouth was drawn into a straight line, and the explorers quickly settled. As I was saying, the teacher continued, our travels would have taken us to China, but recent events have caused us to alter course. Recent events? Alter course? What did he mean? Dim lights to 20%, please, ordered their teacher. As the classroom lights went down, Professor Lubin stepped to one side. A second later, a holo video of an animal appeared where he'd been standing. It looked like a cross between a wild dog, a tiger, and a kangaroo. It had the short, rounded ears, large eyes, and snout of a wolf, yet his body looked more like a greyhound's, strong yet streamlined. Thick black stripes cut across the short, sand-colored fur on its back, leading to a long, taper tail. What is it? Whispered Cruz. A phylloxene? Answered Sailor. Dugan in his sweat, in his seat. A what a sign? Meet the phylloxene, said Professor Lubin. It's also known as the Tasmanian tiger or Tasmanian wolf. However, it's not a cat or a dog. It's a carnivorous marsupial, a relative of the numbat, Tasmanian devil, and quo. A short, rounded ear twitched almost as if the animal were listening to Professor Lubin's talk. The thylacine put its back nose up, sniffing into the wind. While they watched, it turned its head and a pair of wide, dark doe eyes looked directly at them. It was kind of cute. Aw, cooed Allie. The thylacine opened its mouth, and Allie nearly toppled out of its seat. Whoa! It has jaws like an alligator, cried Dugan. With that whopping gape, it does look quite vicious, doesn't it? Said their teacher. The truth is, the thylacine is actually a timid nocturnal creature. Here's another fun fact. The female has a pouch where she may carry up to four joeys, though the pouch faces the hind legs rather than the head, the way a kangaroo's does. Professor Lubin, Sailor's arm was high in the air. I don't mean to correct you, but you keep saying is and has. Shouldn't it be was and had? The Thylacine went extinct like 100 years ago. Professor Lubin paused on the holo video. Explorers, what am I about to reveal to you is confidential information. You cannot share with anyone other than your teachers, Frank Conquils, Sidril van der Wijk, and Dr. Eichenboom. You can't discuss it with friends, family, or even Orion's crew who know where we're going but don't know why. Do you understand? Yes, 24 explorers answered as one. Please raise your hand if you agree to abide by these rules. 24 hands shot up. Good, said their teacher. The holo video that you've been viewing was recorded in the southern region of the Australian island of Tasmania. However, it's not archival footage from a century or more ago. This, Professor Lubin glanced at the thylacine frozen in midair, was taken 5 weeks ago. Everyone gasped, except Sailor. She let out a... earning her a raised eyebrow from their teacher. Sailor, do you have something to contribute? He asked. Sorry, I don't mean to be rude, and you could know because you're not from down under. But the thylacine is... well, it's become a legend, said Sailor. You know, like the Loch Ness Monster of Bigfoot. See, every couple of years, somebody walks out of a Tassie forest saying they've spotted the thylacine so they can get on the news or write a book or whatever. The photos and videos always turn out to be fake. She pointed to the holo image. This one looks real, to be sure, but I wouldn't get your hopes up. It's probably another hoax. You can't compare this to Nessie and Bigfoot, said Julia. I mean, those were legends. They never existed in the first place. But we know the thylacine was real. It's possible it's still out there. Sailor started to open her mouth, but Mateo, Yulia's Magellan teammate, said, Besides, how can we ignore this? Come on, Sailor, where's your spirit of adventure? Don't be a... I don't know how to say it in English. A stick figure. That got a few snickers. I think you mean stick in the mud, said Ali. But we get it. Nobody from Team Cousteau cracked a smile. Sailor's cheeks went pink. Cruz couldn't tell if it was from embarrassment or anger. He knew that although the insult seemed minor, it cut deep. No explorer wanted to be thought of as a wimpy or scared, least of all Sailor. Cruz wasn't sure what was going through Sailor's mind, but he knew how he felt. Mad. He dug his fingers into the cushion of the chair, wondering if he should speak up and defend his friend. Hold on, class, said their teacher. Sailor is smart to be skeptical. Cruz relaxed his grip. Thank you, Professor Lubin. At this point in my lecture, as explorers, you should have more questions than answers, said their teacher firmly. You don't know where this footage originated, if it's been authenticated by experts or been confirmed by other scientific means. All reasons to be cautious. He grinned at Sailor, who sat up a little taller. Here is what we know. This video is from a dragonfly drone. It came from a young society scientist doing research on bird migration, and it has been seen by two of most experienced Australian wildlife biologists. They believe it is the real, but like Sailor, they do have doubts, too. They need more data. The professor opened his arms, and that is why you come in. Explorers, your next mission will be to help determine if the thylacine, an animal that we thought was long gone from the earth, still exists. An excited murmur went through the room. As you know, one of the best ways to discover the habits of animals is through camera trap technology, said their professor. Remote cameras can travel and remain in the most extreme and remote areas of the globe, from the coldest regions of Antarctica to the hottest deserts in Africa to the deepest parts of the ocean. Your mission will take you into the Tasmanian wilderness to deploy Francon's SHOT bots in the area where this video was taken. We're hoping that one or more of these traveling motion-activated camera traps will capture video of the elusive thylacine. Professor Lubin brought the lights up. It will take Orion roughly 10 days to reach Tasmania, so we'll be using some of our class time to prepare you. Professor Ishikawa will teach you about the biology of the animal. Professor Coronado will cover the fossil record. Professor Benedict will provide historical elements and help you hone your observation and photography skills. Monsieur Legrand will boost your endurance for the long trek into the forest and so on. Questions? Yes, Lonnie. If we can prove that the thylacine exists, what then? We're hopeful the shot bots will do more than provide video of the thylacine, said Professor Lubin. They may be able to reveal some information about population size and behaviors such as hunting, feeding, mating, and how the animals raise their young. It also might be possible to actually locate one of the marsupials to take measurements, get samples, and attach a tracking collar. This would be well down the line, mind you. Samples? Sputtered Cruz. You mean as in hair and saliva? Blood, too, said Professor Lubin. Cruz's mind was racing. That means we would have its DNA, and with its genetic code, science could clone it. I mean, if it was close to extinction. The teacher was strolling his way. That's correct. So, what you're saying is, Cruz's heart was suddenly pounding so hard he could barely hear himself speak. If the thylacine is really out there, the future of the species could depend on, well, us. Towering over him, Professor Lubin scratched his stubbed jaw. It sounded like sandpaper. Yes, Cruz, it very well could be. The Explorer Academy fact-based fiction series features mystery, code-breaking, and near-future technology. Books 1 through 6 are now available. Discover more at exploreacademy.com. Moving on to page 34, Pee-wee Harris looks at soccer. Hey, Sam, let's get this practice started. Hey, Becca. Well, as soon as Pee-wee gets here, we can. He's bringing the soccer ball. Oh, not just any soccer ball, Sam. Check this out. It's the latest thing in high-tech soccer equipment. What's so special about it? Well, it's got a GPS that keeps track of the whole game and comes in handy if you ever lose your ball. A top-notch speaker system for game day music and crowd noise. Built-in solar panels for recharging. An onboard computer to keep track of game day stats like weather. An accelerometer to aid in post-game analysis and training. And a map readout that shows where the nearest snack bars are. That's amazing, Pee-wee. Let's get it on the field. What? This is a finely tuned, highly sophisticated device. We can't just kick it around. What are you going to do with it, Pee-wee? It's supposed to be a soccer ball to be kicked around. Well, the wacky adventures of Pedro. Page 35. Okay, everyone, get ready. This pie bake-off is going to be great. Let me introduce the contestants. Marvin, Chef the Master Moose, the amazing Alex, Lance the Squirrel, Prince of Pecans, and Steve the Chicken. Our judge, Bear, will now sample a bite of each contestant's pie. Let the tasting... Oh, the bear picks up Pedro. Begin. He barreled right through those. I think the winner was his tummy. Okay, Mr. Bear. A true story of scouts in action. Antonio Catasquel, 14, was fishing with a friend near Phelps, New York, when they heard two boys yelling for help from their boat in the fast-moving rapids. The boat was lodged against a fallen tree and was filling with water. Antonio tied a rope around his waist and gave the other end to his friend so he could pull Antonio back if the current became too powerful. Antonio took a second rope with him as he jumped into the water and swam toward the boys. Antonio tied one end of the second rope to the boat and the other end to a tree branch on the opposite shore. The boys held onto the rope and waded safely to the river bank. As the boys stepped out of the water, the tree branch broke and the boat was swept downriver. No one was hurt during the incident. Star Scout Antonio Carrasquel, a member of Troop 46, chartered to the Phelps Lions Club in Phelps, New York, received an honor medal for his actions. Good job, Antonio. Fitness first. Short on time, you can finish this speedy workout in less than 10 minutes. Perform the 12 exercises below for 30 seconds each. Rest 10 seconds between each exercise. Number 1, jumping jacks. Number 2, wall sits. Number 3, push-ups. Number 4, abdominal crunches. Number 5, step-ups. Number 6, squats. Number 7, tricep dips. Number 8, push-ups with rotation. Number 9, plank. Number 10, high knees. Number 11, lunges. And number 12, side plank. Too easy? Add more sets to the intensity. Religious emblems. Hinduism. Hindu scouts can learn more about their faith by learning the following BSA award. The Dharma emblem is for a Cub Scout or Scout of Hindu faith or one interested in this faith. Activities cover basic Hindu concepts of Dharma, karma, incarnation, and bhakti. Dharma, or duty to others, is one way a Hindu shows his love for Parameshwar, the Supreme Authority, God. Karma is an action or a result of an action. Good karma brings joy and love from others. Bad karma brings problems and suffering. In Hinduism, people are reincarnated or born again as a life form such as an insect or a human being, depending on their karma. Bhakti is a prayer to Parameshwar that can include sacred words like Om. In it, believers can examine and give thanks for the good things in life. What's up on scoutlife.org? Not K-N-O-T or not N-O-T. Do you know which knot to tie when? Take the quiz at go.scoutlife.org/knot quiz. 10 fun facts about Yellowstone. Get to know America's first national park at goscoutlife.org/Yellowstone. Halloween time. Visit goscoutlife.org/Halloween for costume ideas, pumpkin carving tips, spooky stories, quizzes, and hilarious Halloween jokes. Bringing a sweatshirt to summer camp. Bringing swim trunks to a winter camp. Mimi King, drop us an Instagram message with your best Mimis. If they follow the Scout law and make us laugh, you could be our next Mimi royalty. Captains made us. Joe, not you too, submitted by TM123. Seriously, guys, at least try to social distance. Adventure Scout 75. 1-7. I almost feel sorry for Team Yellow. Adventure Scout 75. Ketchup versus mustard. I-L-E-U Loomis 54. Red Rover, send Willie on over. That's from DP. When you tell your friends you're good at soccer. Worcester. You underestimate my skill. RPM Games. What are you doing? I said single file. SJB. I think I figured out the imposter among us. JDJDog 2002. Freeze, Rebel. We have you surrounded. Soccer Wars. Write your caption at goldscoutlive.org/funny captions. Now, how about a few quips from Think and Grin? Alex, where do monsters get tattoos? Liz, where? Alex, at Monsters Link. That's from Alex Y. in Spring Grove, Illinois. This is Pedro's pick. RJ, what do you get when you cross an electric eel with a sponge? Jack, I have no idea. RJ, a shock absorber. That's to RJS from Jupiter, Florida. Daniel, what do you do when zombies surround your house? Sam, what? Daniel, hope it's Halloween. That's from Daniel R. in Burn, Texas. Keenan, what happens when a mummy gets a cold? John, I have no idea. Keenan, it starts coughing. Keenan N. in Williamston, Kentucky. William, how do snakes get into Hogwarts? Logan, how? William, they slither in. That's from William W. in Fairfield, California. Sheanne, what do you call friends you like to eat with? Charlie, I'm not sure. Sheanne, taste buds. That's from Sheanne E. in Pacifica, California. McKenna, where is a ghost's favorite place to sit? Grayson, I don't know. Where? McKenna, a booth. That's from McKenna D. in Hampstead, North Carolina. Dennis, how do hands build houses? Jeff, how? Dennis, with their fingernails. That's from Dennis G. in Antioch, California. Audrey, what did the sun say to the cloud when it went on vacation? Lisa, I haven't the foggiest. Audrey, you'll be missed. M-I-S-T. That's from RGS in Woodbury, Minnesota. We've run out of time for today's episode of Sports Illustrated for Kids. Be sure to listen next time. We hope you've enjoyed it. I'm John Ivey, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Sports Illustrated for Kids is available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. If you have any comments or questions, please call 919-832-5138. That number again is 919-832-5138. Thank you for listening to the North Carolina Reading Service.